It's time for Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
One, two, three, four. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg on a Sunday morning. Yeah, I know y'all only dealing with this one, so you can't say it last
night. Stay on the scene.
Friday night.
I like a sex machine.
We with you every Sunday. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning. Hey, this is around the corner from me. Right over there on Dallas Highway. Everybody over there in Lost Mountain.
All right.
Right there in West Cobb.
All right now.
Yeah. And it's all right over there. I couldn't think of anything else. I really couldn't. All right, so this starts, it's like a new school year for us. Because, you know, we just got the once-a-week thing.
We got 8 pounds of content. We got a six-pound bag.
Yeah, we do. Found that out because I just realized that, you know, we only got a three-hour show for you. But this is what we do for you on opening day. It is, I mean, we are the
opening
table
Sunday.
Setters.
Oh, opening Sunday.
Well, no, it's opening day for the Falcons, home opener.
But the league is opening. So, yeah, but I mean, they already played two games.
By the way, one of my stories of the week, and I'm trying to figure out how to put this together,
okay,
comes from that first game.
Okay.
Something happened. Others reported about it. So I'm not breaking any news here, but it did stay with me. And it gives me something now to watch for the next couple months. It's only going to last a couple months, but it came from that game, and I'll save it. Till we do the story of the week there.
Oh, look at you now.
Yeah, man. But I got another one. I got a couple things. You're right. We got a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, man.
To jam up in here, and it's a race weekend.
Absolutely.
Quaker State 400 going on out there, Atlanta Motor Speedway. By the way, Quaker State 400 available at Walmart. Make sure you get that in there.
I'm sure everybody AMS appreciates
Brandon,
saying
make sure
that.
Oh, Greg. Okay.
So if you're planning to move around this morning, don't know where you're headed today. You may be getting up going to Sunday services this morning before you go to Falcons game or the race. And just remember, you're coming toward downtown traffic. If you're going southbound on I-75, there's going to be traffic down there. If you're going to take Tower Boulevard, get off there. Just get ready.
Yeah.
Just get ready. It's going to be there. But, I mean, they got so many different ways to get into AMS now. You can go all the way down and take 20 and come across and come into it. So they get you in there in time for the race. It's not like
how
it
you
used
get
to
in
be.
From I'm trying to think for 20. No, that's the way I come in.
No, I'm talking about I-20. This is a Highway 20.
Oh, Highway 20.
Highway 20.
Okay, you didn't
right.
say
you
that.
Go, yeah, go Highway 20.
I'd have been
20.
Doing a Pascual Perez if I stayed on Highway 20.
Go South 75, Highway 20. That drives you right into the backside of the freeway. Whenever okay. I go down to the race, that's the way I go.
Really?
I don't take Terrell Boulevard.
I need to come with you sometime.
There's some people
man.
Do that, but you drive.
Well, if you come up the interstate, too, you get off at exit 215.
Okay.
It says Hampton.
Okay. Well, you got that one. You got several of them you can take, but the one down that just gets off that exit and just drives you right onto the backside.
Can I do a little public service?
Go right ahead.
As I was
go
driving
right ahead.
In
that,
again.
That's what we
admiring
do.
Admiring the beautiful downtown. It's not a skyline, but just the downtown Atlanta look it has. Because you come in and up the connector, you got it kind of really on both sides from time to time. But when you're doing the Grady Curve, and just before you hit that, you know, I'm always looking over at just the amount of signage we have high up in this city. And you notice them all. And unfortunate, amongst all those beautiful buildings, I have to unfortunately report again that our friends over at Georgia State need to go over to, like, Lowe's or Home Depot and get a light bulb. Because the eye is out again in Georgia State University.
Oh, and which building?
The big building you see when you're coming up the connector and you look over, this is Georgia State University. The eye is out.
I didn't even come back that way yesterday after the game. So I don't.
Well, it got to be nighttime, too, to see it.
Well,
but,
no, well, the game was last night, was it?
Okay,
night.
Well.
Yeah, 7 o'clock kickoff, but I didn't see it.
It's out.
Okay.
And I do this as a public service, not to you know, wave my finger at them and say, well, we've got a lot of people coming through the city, and you want them to see that. And you don't, you know, it's like covering up a pimple with, you know, ladies do with makeup. You know,
you're not using the Stridex pads like
they need to do
like
that.
They told you to do on American Bandstand.
But right,
a clear seal, whatever.
But anyway, I just want them to know that it's out, it's noticed, and they're gonna take care. Because every time I've mentioned it, next week I come back, got the light bulbs.
You think some people listen don't know what I'm talking about when I said Bandstand?
American Bandstand. When you say that, there are a few who do. Yeah. They, I tell you what, I'll make you feel
just
better.
Just checking.
I'll tell you what, I'll make you feel better. You know what happened on this date?
On this date.
Two shows premiered.
Two shows.
One is an institution, Star Trek. Are you a Trekkie?
Not really.
Me either. I watch the movies. I like that, saving the whales and going looking for Spock and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
But the TV show, nah, not so much. But anyway, Star Trek premiered on this day, but also in the same year that premiered on this day, we mentioned her last week when she lost her husband. Phil Donahue. This was the day that That Girl started. It premiered.
Okay.
That Girl premiered same time as Star Trek. And in a related story, as I just mentioned, Phil Donahue, today was the day that Oprah started her show.
On this day.
You see what I'm saying?
On this
Oprah
day.
Took over for Phil Donahue, right? I bring everything full circle. But yeah, this is the culmination of Quincy Jones going to Chicago for something, looking up on his TV and seeing this woman. He says, you know what? She would be perfect. I forgot the character's name. I mean, I know Noelle would know. Nellie? Tezzy? Telly?
Who was it?
In Color Purple.
Seeley.
Seeley. Thank you.
All right.
I think Quincy looked at her and said, Oprah would be perfect.
No,
for that
character. She wasn't Seeley. She was.
Okay.
Oh, I'm beginning to.
See, I told you Noelle would know, and then you went and jumped on. What was Oprah's character in Color Purple? Do you remember? We can figure it out. That's all right. It's not that big of a deal, but I'm just letting you know.
Sophia.
Sorry?
Sophia.
Okay. Yeah, she looked like a
with
Sophia.
With the balled up fist ready to.
Oh, who she knock out?
Take somebody out. She knocked out a lot of folks.
It was wasn't Danny Glover, was it?
No, she knocked out several folks.
Oh, no, it was Whoopi.
No.
Because Whoopi made her mad. She was, she told somebody
it was
on
Harpo,
her.
Harpo's girl.
So that would have been
right because she was married to Harpo, but Harpo had him, they were all out there at the Shinny Shack, and she came out there and said, and then she came out there, Harpo, who this woman? And he didn't want.
Well,
to
I thought it was another one she punched. Anyway,
she punched through some guys. She had fist balled up, man. She was just going after a bunch of folks.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. See, this is the kind of fun we have with you on this day. Listen, when you're done with us, it's all football.
Yeah.
So we're going to start off and give you hopefully a little enjoyment during your breakfast, going to do whatever errands you got to run, as Sam just said, going to church, wherever. We are hopefully going to bring you some smiles. We're going to talk a whole lot of college football coming up for the end of this hour. And then I'm going to tee this up and send it to you because you have that voice that best describes what we have coming up. The 7 o'clock hour, or leading into the 7 o'clock hour, is going to be kind of special today. We have Gabriel Stovall. If you listen to Sam and I for the last decade or so, you know that he's the sports rev. So we're going to talk to him about some sports stuff, too. But today is the day that we need to talk to somebody who got a cloth.
Okay.
What I mean?
Yeah, well, somebody who's just going to inspire us and get us to get our heads up. And that's just not for me and you. That's for all of us after what we've had to face this week.
Exactly.
So,
That leads us into the 7 o'clock hour.
In 7 o'clock hour. If you're with us for the Scoreboard Show Friday night, we heard from Ralph Neely. He's the athletic director and assistant principal at Appalachia High School. If you didn't get a chance to hear the conversation he had with myself and Chris Parker, we're going to replay that for you at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock, and you're going to get to hear his thoughts about what the community, what the school and the young people are doing to try to move forward. They're going to have an event today. Tonight at 8 o'clock at the school, they're going to invite everybody to come. They're going to come out to remember the four lives that were lost, but also just to check on each other. They don't know when they're going back to school. They don't know when they're going to, have any activities. And it's not just their school, but Winder Barrel High School also didn't play their game Friday night. They're part of that Barrel County school system. And he's going to tell us what we can do to show support for them. There is a fund. There's a crisis fund in that county, and he will tell us, and we'll remind people throughout the rest of the show what they can do to show support for the school and for the young people out there.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's coming up again at 7 o'clock. Got some other guests we will tell you about. We have the first participant from our feature, They Got Next. She's going to be joining us, and you will see the growth in her career.
She was a Cub reporter. She was our first Cub reporter on Friday night. And she was so enthusiastic. And in case you're wondering, Selah Thomas, who's Terrell Thomas's daughter, who I saw yesterday. So, she's all over the place, man.
I'm telling you. So well,
I'm over at Clark Atlanta for the football game. I look up and there's Selah. I'm like, what are you doing here? But she knew somebody on one of the football teams. They had a family member playing for the Allen University team over at Clark Atlanta. And I just happened to be over there to see this new red field. And if you haven't seen it, I'm going to put a couple of pictures on my social media. It jumps out at you, man, to see a red football field.
Yeah,
we have one here in Atlanta.
Yeah, well, red and black, too, and it looks great. But let's get to our story of the week.
It's time for Sam and Greg's story of the week.
Could be sports.
Grapefruit League activity.
Could be news.
Could be entertainment.
This is our first time on the VMAs.
It could be, well, anything.
You know what I'm saying?
Sam and Greg's story of the week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Sam and Greg.
All right, I know that I have gone, I don't know if you have one, but, I got a couple, but I'm not going to do a couple. I'm going to do one. But I've gone first the last couple weeks, so why don't you take it?
Man, I really have one. If I can do one, I guess, a departure of the part of the foundation of Atlanta United. Carlos Bocanegra, parts ways with the team this week, and he'd been the architect of putting together this roster that you know, overnight, right after the team is formed, as a contender. Makes the playoffs, and then the next year wins MLS Cup. And we've just seen some things wind down, and a lot of people were not surprised when the news came down this week. They're off. They didn't play this week. They'll be back next week, the team, and let's see if they can still try to find a way to make the playoffs and hang into a playoff spot. But clearly, just some things that kind of run its course with him. So, I mean, he's the last part of what originally put the team together, departed now from Atlanta United.
All right, well, mine comes from, you are a big fan of Indiana Jones, John Connery and all of that. And speaking of Mr. Connery, this is where mine lands. Because, there was supposed to be a new James Bond this year. It was supposed to come out, and everything got all turned sideways and with the pandemic and the shooting schedule. Remember, they had to postpone and push back Daniel Craig's last James Bond. Mm-hmm. So they ain't had no James Bond. I don't even know if they've officially chosen who's going to be the next James Bond. So we all been waiting here. But then this news came, Sam, and this is a curveball that I didn't see coming. We are excited to share with you, this comes from their camp, and not just the Cubby Brocula folks, this is also from the Ian Fleming estate, excited to share with you that the James Bond franchise has finally given a beloved character the spotlight, a first spinoff from James Bond. And you know who gets it? Q.
Oh, really?
For the longest time, by the way, Desmond Llewellyn was the only person who had been in every James Bond movie up to Daniel Craig. He started with Connery,
yeah.
Went through all of them, and he was always Q. It was always in the beginning, come show you what you needed, blah, 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 and then he'd leave. You never see him again. Now Q, and if you don't know who Q is the guy who gives James Bond his gadgets.
Mm-hmm.
For every movie, and this is what you got, and so on. And Bond, please bring it back when you're done in the field. He always says that. Please bring this back. Anyway, so I was pretty cool about that. So here's the deal. It's going to be called The Q Mysteries.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's going to be done. It's penned by the dude who did Quantum of Malice.
Okay.
The second, I believe, Daniel Craig movie. Second Daniel Craig Bond movie. So anyway, I was excited about that. Because Q, that means we got gadgets, which means we got stuff that they can use special effects on. It's going to be It's going to be kind of cool. So that's my story of the week, along with some other things that we will get to on this race weekend. But we got college football, lots of it to talk about. But it's the Falcons' home opener. Hopefully we can hear from some of you that are going to be tailgating, want to hear from you. I would imagine that this would be a day that somebody like our own Steak Shapiro would be able. You got to wonder if he were going out there,
yeah,
and what he's putting on the grill, or more importantly, what chef does he have his grill?
Right. You know what I mean.
But we want to hear all about that. We're just getting started on this Sunday morning. It's September 8th. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. Everybody's lying right now. If your head ain't bobbing. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam, do you know that song, along with the album, hit number one today and stayed there for some 13 weeks? Anyway, Harry Belafonte and Dale. Everybody knows this. You know, they just tease you with a little bit of it at the stadium. But anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com on this Sunday morning. Going to talk to the sports rep coming up here in a little bit. We got to spend some time talking about what happened in the games that caught our interest yesterday.
Yeah. And, well, you had a trouble finding a certain game yesterday.
Well, I've had problems this whole week watching things. And so some decisions were made in my house.
Yeah.
And so I got to go get some new remotes. Let's just put it that way. Y'all going to fight with organizations and not show me my Braves and things like that. I've had enough. I got options.
This was a week for a lot of people.
Yep. And we exercised our options. And so I found – but here's the thing. The game that you're talking about, of course, Georgia, I'm in a long line of people who couldn't find that. So I'm looking – well, first it was, it was not a good day in my house yesterday.
Okay.
Because part of that move that we made, was to make sure that we could see game day where they were yesterday.
Okay.
And people were up doing laundry early in my house, make sure they had their Michigan shirts on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jesse had been walked. Everything was ready to go, right? And it didn't turn out the way they wanted. Listen, talking about obviously the big matchup from yesterday. Because Georgia it was what it was. It's really not dissecting that. But let's start with what happened in the early game, the noon game. Michigan, Texas.
Yeah.
I think most people saw Texas winning that game. But they did a good job of putting all the pomp and circumstance there. But I was telling Tracy one of the things that's the worst part about that game for you is that Urban Meyer got to leave that stadium because he was there with Fox with a smirk on his face. In front of Charles Woodson and Derek Jeter, who were out there as captains, co-captains, things like that. It was just one of those matchups. And listen, you can't manufacture lightning in a bottle, and that's what last year was for that team. I mean, you won games with the coach in the motel,
right?
So you can't expect to do that again, losing the amount of people that you lost. So again, they got it handed to them. But let me ask you this though. Is what we saw yesterday something that this sport needs to do more often, having these big out-of-conference matchups early in the season?
Well, you're going to have more of that because of the power rankings and to get into the playoffs. So you're going to get more of those type matchups, just like the Georgia-Clemson game a week ago. You're going to get more of those type. And that one was on a home field, but you may get more of these games on neutral sites, like Southern Cal, LSU playing in
Florida,
Las Vegas,
Jacksonville, and all that.
You know, places like Vegas had a game last week with Southern Cal and LSU. So you're going to get more of those type games, high profile teams, and early in the season. And the question is, does it hurt to lose a game like that early in the
season?
That's what I told her.
Yeah,
you still got your conference schedule to go. So does it really hurt Michigan in that way? They still got the conference to play.
You're right.
And the other thing is this. I was on with Matt Stewart last night. We were doing the call for the Georgia State game against Chattanooga, and I said there are two important words with college football: is your identity and retention.
You've been saying that for the last few weeks. Yeah.
Identity and does this team have its identity yet? This Michigan team does not have its identity. And that's what you got. You got a Texas team. They know who they are. They know who they are. And that's the thing. Did you retain guys? Did you bring a lot of transfer portal guys in? It takes a minute for that team, for that group of athletes, to become a team. Florida State could yet be a good team. You know, they just got so much new in there right now. And so can you get that to be a team? And it's still early in the season, although people have already counted them out because they have two conference losses.
Well, let me ask you this, because you brought up something when we were watching the Nebraska-Colorado matchup, and you were wondering – well, is Nebraska this good or is Colorado that bad?
Well, not really that bad. And once again, you got this transfusion of a lot of transfer guys.
That's what I'm saying. So you haven't found your identity.
Have they become a team yet? They don't have their identity yet.
So let me ask you this. Do you feel comfortable about what we said going into the season about Texas after what you've seen so far?
Yep.
So you feel like
they know who they are.
They know who they are.
Their eyes are wide open.
And everybody in the SEC needs to know.
They meant to do that yesterday. It wasn't an accident.
And Georgia needs, to take notes on what they saw yesterday.
They served notice to them, Alabama, everybody in the SEC. Look at what we did on the road on that platform.
They made sure that they mentioned in the postgame, made sure he mentioned it. This is not nothing new for us because we went into Alabama, if you remember last year, this program, and did the same thing. So we've wanted big programs, both of them on the road recently.
You wanted them in the conference. Be careful what you wish for. That's all I'm saying. They come in with a big, 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 deep checkbook, and they come to take your lunch money, too. Texas is real. Mm-hmm. Texas is real. Like I said, they know who they are, and they showed it yesterday. You wonder, and we get into Georgia because some people want to hear from Kirby, and they got the win. It was easy. Probably a lot of people left around the third quarter. But 48-3, the final score. Let's hear from Coach and his thoughts about the game.
Yeah, guys, I was really proud of our guys today. Came out with good energy, good passion to be able to play at home in front of our crowd, which you don't get many chances. I think we average six maybe home games a year, and that was one of them. So we took advantage of it. Guys played hard. I thought we had ebbs and flows that were really good and then some that weren't. And I was really proud of the guys. I challenged them at halftime.
So that's Coach talking about the team. And he mentioned during the week, the toughest part for them this week and most weeks is practice.
Right.
You got guys who are sitting third on the depth chart who just as talented as the guys who are starting. So the competition and pressing each other, that happens during the week. Saturday becomes real easy for this crew, especially in a matchup like that one. You got some games that are going to challenge them a little bit more coming on. But right now, through two games, opponents have scored a total of 6 points against Georgia.
Hey, let me go back to Texas for a minute. Why did I feel like Arch Manning was going to see the field? I just thought for whatever reason he was going to.
I don't think he thought he was going to see the field.
I just haven't been following him. I guess what I'm asking is how is he doing so far?
He's
what's
fine.
Being said?
He's fine.
All right. He's
doing good.
He's got to just wait his turn.
He's waiting his turn.
Okay.
He's going to be fine. Going to be fine. Setback for Georgia Tech and disappointed. I was thinking they would go up to Syracuse and get a win, and Syracuse hands them their first defeat for the season. And they got a national ranking this week for the first time in 10 years. Ranked 23. Let's see what happens with the rest of the schedule as the schedule goes. But Syracuse, who is off to a good start as well, beat Tech 31-28 yesterday on the road. Man, have you noticed the billboards on the downtown Connecticut?
You mentioned that earlier. I have not. I noticed University, but that was about it.
You know the billboard. I'm not talking about the bills. I'm talking about the billboards,
no,
man.
I'm not seeing it. What are you talking about?
The billboards. Hey, Cal Berkeley billboards. Cal
what?
Berkeley has invested in billboards on the downtown Connector.
And
I'm thinking, because they're now a part of the ACC.
Yeah, all right.
And so, when you join a conference within the footprint, you can do things like that, from your slush fund, whatever kind of slush fund they got out there in Cal Berkeley. They're spending some money long way from home, but because
they got some talent here.
They're in the conference.
They're pushing warm weather and all of that.
They want to recruit. They want to, come to California, Northern California. And play there. So, but they go down to Auburn yesterday, and they beat Auburn.
Yeah,
that gets your attention a little bit. And that probably raised the eyebrows of some possible potential recruits in the area. Say, hey, these guys come in, they beat an SEC team and whatnot. They got billboards up in downtown. Let me take a look. That's kind of how it starts with the recruiting, right? Mm-hmm. And so look at them being smart coming in here, throwing that out there, and. Yeah, that was kind of big from yesterday.
Well, last week, and it's crazy that it was last week that we're talking about this, 60 miles straight west of Chicago is a place called DeKalb, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
For a period of time, it was known for having the richest land in America for farming, right? You'd go around the country in the Midwest, especially, you'd see these little signs called DeKalb corn, right? That's because of there. But you know what is in DeKalb, Illinois? Along with an old bar named McCabe's I used to go and frequent, is Northern Illinois University.
Yeah.
And DeKalb is also the home of Cindy Crawford.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's from DeKalb.
Okay.
Anyway, you talked about that upset. Did anybody see this coming?
Notre Dame losing to a directional school. When you're one of them powerhouses, you don't like to lose to directional schools.
No, you do not.
Notre Dame lost to a directional school, man.
But the other thing about this is, what?
16-14 final.
I hate to think about the conversation that's going to continue to swirl around Marcus Freeman and what kind of coach he is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And this is after they go down and they get a win that was really good for them at Texas A&M.
Exactly.
And you turn around at home and you know, directional school come in there.
So they got the win last week. Everybody's saying these guys just going to tap in.
They put them up to number five.
Now they have a 23. They broke it down here. 23% of making the playoffs. Yikes. And as we finish this, shout out to our own David Archer.
Yeah.
Iowa State came back yesterday and beat Iowa on field goal. So is it 20-19 or something like that? But I thought about you calling it the Fighting David Archer.
The Fighting Dave Archers, man. The Fighting Dave Archers get that win.
On the road. Got it over number 21, Iowa. Anyway, we're just getting started on this Sunday morning. Got a couple special features coming up next. And so we'd like you to stay tuned. And again, Gabriel Stovall is going to be next. Sports Rev. Haven't talked to him in a little bit. See how things are out there in Covington. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you in the Odyssey app.
Or maybe we just stop trying, and it's too late, baby, now it's too late.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, take us with you in the Odyssey app. It is Sam and Greg on this race weekend. Quaker State 400 available at Walmart, taking place this weekend out at Atlanta Motor Speedway. We have got just like white-hot anticipation for what is going on at Mercedes-Benz later today. We're going to talk about that. As we come back, you got a famous female singer here today. I'm going to throw this out there for you, Sam. Would have been Patsy Cline's birthday today.
Ah.
Now, is she the first woman of country music, or is that Loretta Lynn?
I'm thinking Loretta Lynn.
Well, what's Patsy?
She's right there with her.
She influenced Loretta.
Yeah.
She got some kind of title. Somebody call us and let us know. And it would have been Richard the Lionheart's birthday today, the King of England.
Mm.
Yeah. So there you go. Patsy Cline and Richard the Lionheart. So anyway, on this 8th day of September, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to hear from Selah Thomas, new Cub reporter. I was up here this week, and our own Mike Conti could not have been more proud of you to enlist her as one of your reporters, and using that term, because it's like a term, A, you don't hear that much anymore.
No.
And B, he was one of them. He goes, that's where I got my start as a Cub reporter. So he was over the moon excited that you extended this to Selah. So we're going to talk to her coming up here. But we got a friend of the show. Bring him on?
Yeah, man, absolutely. We haven't checked in with him for a minute.
It's been a minute. He's watching golf last time, right?
Yeah, I know it, but he's doing so many. He's watching a lot of things, and I just said we really need to hear from him this week. Always great to catch up with him, though. Gabriel Stovall, welcome back to the morning show.
Morning, Gabriel.
What's up, Sam? What's up, Greg? How y'all doing on this fine Sunday morning?
We have you, so we're doing good now.
I like it, man. It's so good to be here. So good to hear y'all's voices today, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Great to have you on. We know, and I'm going to let you go on and crow about your home, folks, the Nebraska. Yeah, I know you
already know it. Listen, man, you already know it. My boys took care of business yesterday. I'm so excited.
You know, what are we seeing, though? Are we seeing Nebraska really being back? Are we seeing, you know, them taking advantage of Colorado with a lot of influx of transfer guys coming in and not really being the team we thought they're going to be? Or are they, Colorado, not that team, and Nebraska really is ready to ascend to the place we saw them for so many years?
You know what, Sam? I mean, I think it's a little too early to just go ahead and say we're back, because every time we've done that before, then we, you know, lose to directional Michigan or something like that. But I will say that I do believe what we're seeing and what we saw with Nebraska, Colorado is honestly like a contrast in styles, man. And I think what it also is that no matter how much we talk about like the new things with the transfer portal and the NIL and all this stuff with college football and how it's changing and revolutionizing the game, I still think there's something to be said about the fact that you still got to build a team from a traditional standpoint. You still got to recruit the high school ranks. You still have to develop. Coaching is still a thing. And I just think that you saw you know, yesterday, kind of a referendum of those two different types of styles of program building. With Colorado, you know, everybody talked about, oh, they brought in all these five-star transfer portal people to build their offensive line. And you saw how porous their offensive line was. Then you look over at Nebraska, they're not back to pipeline status of the 1990s, but they're good. And you got guys who've been playing together for 2, 3, 4 years, and you can't build your trenches in a flash-in-the-pan process through the transfer portal. That just doesn't happen. So, you know, I think that's what we're seeing more of. I think just Nebraska's on a really good trajectory. They still got a long way to go. Freshman quarterback, gotta love him. I know he was pledged to Georgia for a while. He was at Buford, got the chance to see him in high school last year. But I love it, man. I'm on cloud. I couldn't even sleep last night. I was
look
so
at him. Look at this dude, man. I tell you,
it's been a long time since we had that kind of a win, man. I was like, this is good.
I manage his sports rep, Gabriel Stovall, who, of course, harkens back to the days of Tom Osborne, and Nebraska grad here joining Sam and Greg.
Real Nebraska.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Listen, man, speaking of Nebraska, we haven't talked to you since the boys joined the Big Ten. What are your thoughts on this conference? Because at some point this year, you got to go up against Ohio State.
Well, you know, and that's why I say, you know, that's why I'm like, you know, hey, put the Kool-Aid down, or at least if you're going to drink it, sip it. Don't just chug it, you know, because we've got the Big Ten is – this is not your grandfather's Big Ten. You know, you've got now you've got USC. You've got, you know, Nebraska's going to have to make a trip to USC in the later on down there. You got Oregon, like you said, going into the Shoe in Columbus, Ohio State. You know, those teams, Michigan, we saw Michigan get thumped pretty good to a good Texas team yesterday, but they have a very good, solid Big Ten defense. So I think Nebraska's on the way, but they still got some work to do, man. With apologies to Coach Prime and the folks of Colorado, like, I don't think Colorado is a great football team, but we haven't beaten a non-conference Power 5 or Power 4 now opponent in like 6 years. So we're going to take what we get, man.
All right. Let's spend the time this morning with Gabriel Stovall. He's with us. And he is social. You can find him at Gabriel C. Stovall or find his work at Augusta Press Sports at Augusta Press Sports. What's happening down I-20? What's the story we ought to be on the lookout for?
Fantastic stuff happening in football, man. You know, it's a basketball town. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of good football out here. We had the privilege of covering our game of the week this past Friday was Lakeside Evans versus Evans High School. So you're talking about a crosstown, in-county rivalry. And it was the first time in the 33 meetings that they had come into the game undefeated. With a minimum of 2 games played. Now, here's a young cat. He's a senior, but 5'10" senior quarterback named Ty Jones from Lakeside Evans. If you don't know who that is, if you've never heard of him, if you've never seen him, you want to go get on Huddle.com or something and watch some highlights of that kid. Coach Steve Hibbetts from Lakeside said, this is the best football player I've coached. He's been at Lakeside for like 10 years. Of course, you think it's hyperbole. Then you see him. He scored as a quarterback with his legs, with his arm. He scored as a punt returner. He made several plays on defense and helped Lakeside to get the 3-0, I think, for the first time since 2019. And it's not a fluke, man. That's a good squad. You've got a great Aquinas squad out there with 6'4" Davidson quarterback commit Jim Franklin. They've got a great team. There's a lot of good football being played down on the east side of I-20, man. And so we're pretty excited about what the prospects of this season have to hold.
Fantastic, fantastic, folks. We talk about high school football. Of course, the story that we've been following this week, any of us who cover high school athletics and care about young people and putting out the positive stories about them, as you consistently do, troubled by what happened up at Appalachia this week. You know, I don't know your thoughts, you know, on that, you know, first of all. And, you know, just it just brings us back to earth a little bit. But I'm really take heart by all of the things that people did around the state on Friday night. We saw the Cals with the letter A on the back of some helmets. We saw for Jefferson, instead of the J in the middle of the field, they put an A. And a lot of teams observe a moment of silence before, just to feel some type of solidarity and support for these young people?
Man, it was. You know, it's hard for me to say it was great. I mean, it was great that people were doing those things. It just sucks that it's what they were doing it for, you know. And so, like, Appalachian High School prayers go out to that community, to the Winder and Barrow County community. It kind of struck a chord because, as you know, also I still do journalism work with Newton County Journal, a publication that I started in the Covington, Newton County area. I have a sports crew that's covering that community well, and they showed me how when Eastside was playing Archer at Sharp Stadium in Covington this past Friday, how Eastside made a nice, really classy tribute to Appalachian High on the video board at Sharp Stadium. And it's crazy because it really is like a next-door neighbor to the Newton right. County folks. Like, right. It's maybe a 45, 50-minute drive from Covington to where Appalachian High School is, and so it really hit close to home to the folks in Newton County, man. And so I love the fact that, and I always tell people this, when if you could just bottle up the camaraderie that we find from our sports communities, sports fans, we always kind of, when tragedy hits or different things of that nature, we always kind of forget our differences, and we always kind of forget about who votes for who in politics and all that, and we come together. And I'm like, man, if you could bottle that up and pour it out on some of the other stuff in our world, it would be amazing. We would get a lot of problems solved. But, you know, I love the camaraderie. I love what we saw from people. I just wish we could find a way to limit these kinds of tragedies in our schools, man. Of course, hit home with the football community at Appalachian High because I think it was their defensive coordinator was one of the four that was killed in that situation, man. So our prayers, our thoughts continue to go out to them. And we hope that, you know, as every time somebody sees one of these situations, it brings us closer to actually sitting down and creating some solutions that can help remedy some of this, man. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, we appreciate you spending some time this morning. Okay, now, you're on your way. You got your sermon for this morning?
Yeah, where you headed, man?
I got it, man. Okay. I'm headed up to Covington and as we speak, and then I'm going to preach there this morning, and then coming back to Augusta, we've got an afternoon service. I'm preaching there this afternoon, man, and I'm going to take me a little after-church nap, and then I'm going to get up and start looking ahead to the next week and seeing how we're going to cover some things, man. So the work never stops.
Gabriel, I'm going to put you on the spot here just for a minute, and what you just said capsulizes Sam and I's thoughts eloquently. It really did, and didn't want to add to that. But since you mentioned putting a sermon together, and if you could, off the top, because we know we got some folks up in that area, in the Winder area, listening right now, if you wanted to say something to them as if you were in the pulpit right now, some kind of message or something that you could pass on to them.
Yeah, man. Well, I you know, one of the things that always encourages me is, I think it's in the book of Psalms, Psalm 30, verse 5, and it's a scripture that says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." And I know people are like, well, how can I be joyful over the loss of loved ones, over the loss of this, over the loss of that? And I say, you know, you just never know how strong you can be, how resilient you can be, and how just amazingly just have a bounce back mentality about yourself until you're forced to have to deal with it. And I know it's hurting. I know people are hurting and frustrated right now, and they're mad and they're angry. But I also know that for those that believe in God, and for those that have a faith foundation, God always has a way of turning even the darkest moments into a way that makes us look back and say, you know what? It sucked that it had to happen, but I actually can see God's hand in this. And so I just want to just offer that to folks. Just stay encouraged. Hold tight to your faith if you have that. Hold tight to your trust and belief in God. All things work together for the good of them that love him and are called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Even if it doesn't feel good, some kind of way God knows how to make things work for our good. And so I'm just praying that people will just hold on to that, and that some brighter days will come soon for that community.
Yeah.
Amen.
We appreciate you. You're spending some time with us this morning and bringing that to us, especially for the folks out at Appalachia. Gabriel, we appreciate you. Have a wonderful day today, and stay in touch. We're going to circle back with you some, man.
Yeah, man. Enjoy your football Sunday, Gabriel.
I certainly will, man. Thank you guys for allowing me this opportunity. Y'all have a great day as well.
All right, you too. Right. We will be in touch. All right, now, that's one thing as we head into the top of the hour. You want to sort of let our folks know what's coming up next.
Yep, coming up next, top of the hour. Usually I would do some things as local sports. We're going to turn it over and let you hear an interview that Chris Parker and I had on the scoreboard show with the athletic director and assistant principal from Appalachia High School. So you want to stay tuned for that here at the top of the hour. It's Sam and Greg with Noel, Other Side of the Glass, on this game day Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com.